saw this last month. God was not just talking to Abraham. He was giving us a clue. In verse 1, he said, the Lord said, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, he said, get thee out of thy country. That's a persuasion. And from thy kindred, that's another persuasion. And from thy father's house. Now, these were good people, because when Abraham wanted to find a wife for Isaac, he sent him back to the kin, to his kindred. Mm-hmm. But their persuasions was not good enough for God's standards. He's shown us we have to receive what God is saying and reject every worldly influence, because it'll easily beset us. Paul put it this way, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets. And I noticed that the greatest men and women of God that God raised up, he went around the church to get them. Jesse Duplantis, he went around the church and got him. And got him. Now, he was trained, right? Kenneth Copeland. Now, first, Oral Roberts. He got sick, and his brother took him to a tent revival. And he wanted that. He believed in healing. He wanted to do that. He wasn't raised in the church. Kenneth Copeland was trained by Oral Roberts. God went around the church again. I've been watching, he said, Gloria Copeland, the way she got saved, she said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Steve Quayle, the Lord, I listened to his ministry. The Lord took him around the church. I think it was Hal Lindsey was preaching. And he pointed to him and said, God loves you. And he got saved, received Jesus. Jesus showed him a vision of the end time. So he teach a lot of things that's happening and forming and warning people as a watchman. And he's a little rough around the edges, but I see the work of God in him. Why did God keep going around the church to get these people? The greatest leaders of our day, the Lord. Kenneth Hagin, he went to the Baptist church. But before he got healed, he went to hell 3 times. He said, I go to church. I was baptized. He heard his voice echoing. Why did God? See, the Lord, he has to do things as pure. He can't use the negative, anybody's negative. He has to build on a pure foundation. So I kept noticing how they didn't go through the ranks of the church. They went around the church. Then I see scriptures like what Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the wicked and the sinner appear? Why would that be there if it wasn't necessary? Then the Lord said, many have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So the work of tares is an attack. Tares don't just stay at home and go to clubs and bars. They go to church. They become preachers. They become seminary teachers. The wiles of the devil. Just like the sheep and the goat. The goat's going to always try to get on the highest precipice. It's just how it is. So the Lord knows what he's doing. But think about time and covenant. People that are true, time and covenant. In the Word of God, wicked people don't keep covenant. They break every rule there is to be. When Jesus came, and this is the biggest clue I ever seen, the religious order wanted Jesus dead. And they wore garments with scriptures in their phylacteries. It is possible to totally miss the point. If you don't see him, if you don't see Jesus, you miss it. Time and covenant. People do good things for the wrong reasons, and they do bad things for the right reasons. Well, I mean, I meant to say it this way. They do good things for the wrong reason, and people do good things for the right reasons. tithing. Anybody that tithes with the revelation of tithing, they prosper. Whenever they talk about tithing, it's with enthusiasm. They're prospering. They got the revelation of it. Now, some people do it because they're supposed to. They were taught to. Some people do it because they don't want to seem like an oddball. Mm-hmm. You know, if I don't tithe, the pastor's going to know that I better tithe. Now, what's going to happen over time? If you do it under revelation, you're going to prosper over time. If you do it grudgingly, it's not the same. And eventually, you'll have problems after problem. And I've heard glorious reports of tithers, and then some feel like it's not working for them. But it all goes back to covenant. And then when there's covenant, time is going to happen. Time proves everything. Uh-huh. So if you're in covenant all along the course of your life, you're going to grow and grow and grow and grow. But if you're out of covenant, for whatever reason, uh-huh. Your heart gets harder and harder and harder.
That's true.
And harder over time. And to the pure, everybody's pure. Now, that's not true, but that's how it's seen. And to those that are unbelieving, no, and worldly, nothing's pure. Let me go back. I'm messing that up too. Timothy, 1 Timothy. No, Titus, I'm sorry. Titus chapter 1. When I looked at that scripture one day, I said, that's a hard thing to come up with. Paul did that by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read the first part. He said, verse 15, to the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing's pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And then he said something very curious. He said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. When we look at the warning of the Church of Laodicea, Jesus talked to them as if they were way out of covenant, and he said they assess themselves to be godly, but I don't want to mess that up either. Let me look at it again. Revelation 3. Yeah, these things are there, but people who are people of covenant, that's why Jesus said, many that are first will be last, many that are last will be first. In other words, God has taken those of covenant, and he put them in a, they're deployed. This is a time where anybody that's of covenant, God has found a way to deploy them. And their words are going to be solid words. Covenant words. And it's going to shed light on what's not. Everyone that loves God, they cast light over the darkness of every form. He said unto the church, verse 14, unto the church, angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Mm-hmm. I would that thou were cold or hot.
Yeah.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So I know he wouldn't do that against people of covenant, but they had become something else. The Lord told me several months ago, or at the end of last year, he said, these are tares. They had become ungodly. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, thou knowest not that thou art rich and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Miserable. I saw something this week. I was doing a broadcast. If people do, if they allow any form of leaven in their lives, it's going to create a misery in them. If people are greedy, that's going to cause a misery. If they envy others, misery. That's going to cause them misery. If they get mad when others do well, misery. Mm-hmm. And they stop being fruitful. Misery is the opposite of fruitfulness. But if you grow in the Lord, you'll come to a point, you just stop, you don't get mad no more. You rejoice to see people do what they're supposed to do. And that's what God wants to pour that on you. People can do the right thing for the wrong reason, or they can do it from a heartfelt reason. And motive is very important. One day I asked questions. Because I just don't know. I ain't the smartest man God made. I asked questions. I said, and one day he helped me out. He gave me a boost. You know how you feel bad and you go to the doctor, they give you a vitamin B shot. Well, he gave me one. He said, sincerity begets sincerity, while living begets living. I said, that's what he's after, sincerity. And one day he told me a few years ago, he said, I was studying Revelation, and he said, I'm looking for sincerity. You know, he finds people that's sincere, capable, and he will protect them. If you watch God, you learn. Why did he save Steve Quayle? Gave him a vision, made him forget it, and brought it back when it's necessary. Did the same thing with Tom Horn. Now, Tom Horn went to, he prayed to be a preacher. He went to, I think he was a Church of God preacher. But they have, and when they do talk radio, one of them's on the, in one part of the world on the radio, the other one's on the other. When they come together on the same radio program, now they don't socialize, but they say the same thing. Now, he protect people that's sincere. Your sincerity will protect you. And I learned, one day, I had been going to church, and a small church, it take a lot of works to run a small church. And it take a lot of attention, it take a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And if you don't watch it, you'll lose God in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. I was over my mother's house. This was around, this was before they moved in 03, so it was sometime between 2001 and 03. And I said, well, me and my sister Gail was talking about Revelation, and it was just a sweet spirit in the room. And it reminded me of the prayer room days when I would go in the prayer room. And I said, now this is how church is supposed to be. The Word of God is supposed to be fun.
Amen.
It shouldn't be a load. I said, what's... Mm-hmm. And I made a decision. I said, people are going to be people. Ministry is going to be ministry. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. And ministry will fall where it fall, it'll do what it's supposed to do. And I just made that decision. I'm not going to let anything get my eyes off the Lord again. You know, you can get so busy like Martha.
Oh, yeah.
And you love God. And that's why you're doing all this stuff.
And it is.
You can lose
the joy. But understand now, she was getting busy for him.
Yeah.
She was busy for him. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that Ken folks was coming from the outside. Mm-hmm. She was busy
for him.
Yeah. But no time, no fellowship with him. But she was busy. And that's what most pastor does. They get busy for him and don't have time to fellowship with him, and they lose out. And they wonder, why, Lord, why did I do this and I do that and I do that? Why did I no fellowship?
Mm-hmm. And that's where I said, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to enjoy him. And ever since I made that quality decision, like Frank Matson used to say, everything changed. Mm-hmm. It was easier to hear God again. It was easier to do. I was in covenant. And see, covenant gives you the ability to prosper in every way over time.
Whoa, that's good.
Covenant and time. Now, everybody that's been sincere, some people have been sincere from the moment they got saved. Some people, they had their rough patches and they wore your class or they fought. And it wasn't always easy, but they always come back to balance. Mm-hmm. And then they remain in covenant over time. And some people do the right things for other reasons. They do it because they're supposed to, or it's time to, or you know, or grudgingly. Well, they'll get blessed for the effort, but not the full effect. And remember, the leaven of the world hardens the heart. And he said that they were miserable, and they came to the point that they became poor. Now this didn't happen. They started off believing on Jesus just like everybody else, because he addressed them as the church and they are deceived. Miserable and they're poor. They had no spiritual wealth. They had possessions. They looked just as blessed as those of covenant, and sometimes more so. But they were poor spiritually. And then blind, they couldn't see the condition. Because the devil hides his hand. He does the work and he hides. I don't just study the Lord as I do warfare against Satan. I watch how he do warfare. And then I say, Lord, he almost caused me a lot of problems. He almost caused me to fall, or he gave me a lot of trouble. How did he get that close? I asked those kind of questions, and I learned his tactics. In the early days, there's a scripture that Solomon's talking about the ways of a harlot. Says her ways are moved, so you can't know them. And so is Satan. That's where she got it from. Satan will come to you the way you expect, then he'll come to you a way you don't expect, and then he'll just try something to see if it works. And the Lord taught me that. And then he'll give you a thought. If you go unchecked, the leaven always grow. And as it grows and you don't check it, when he think you're at a weak point, then he'll tempt you with the whole load. But God will give you a way of escape.
Amen.
And God, he gave me ways of escape. Mm-hmm. Then I went back and I said, Lord, how did it get to that point? And then he taught me these tactics. And I watch. Over time, it's like this. If you go to a church any church that loves God sincerely, you don't want to leave. you even if you're tired and hungry, you forget about how tired and hungry you are. God's moving. If when there's leaven, you can't wait to leave. I saw Pastor Jackson one time. The anointing, excuse me. The anointing was on him so strong, he dismissed three times. he got to a point, he dismissed. Nobody moved. No women, nobody got their purse, everybody was just sat there. And then he just kept talking another 10 minutes. And he said, you know, y'all dismissed, nobody moved. I just looked around, I said, this is good. Then he spoke another 5 or 10 minutes. He said, you know, y'all dismissed, then everybody moved at the same time. That's a wonder right there. You know, when the Holy Spirit is resting on the place, you want to stay. Years ago, after our refuge Tipper had split, we used to meet at Steve Glover's house. And we would, before we somebody would preach, we took turns preaching in those days. And we would go into worship. Everybody would be worshiping the Lord. And then everybody would get quiet at the same time. And the Lord would minister to people. And then the Holy Spirit would lift, and then we'd get up and minister. that was a wonderful experience, you know. For the week ago when Pastor was preaching, or 2 weeks ago, he went silent, and then a man gave a tongue, and then Pastor interpreted. Remember, the Holy Spirit, he just went silent, then the man gave a tongue, and then Pastor interpreted. That's how it was. When we follow Him, and keep the Holy Spirit in charge, we're going to see some things. And every time people honor God, signs and wonders always follow. Even if they may seem small, it's a wonder. It's a sign. It's a wonder. Now, in covenant and time, the people of God that's sincere, they're always growing. But when people's heart is hardening, their heart is always hardening. The Lord set things up. He's wise. He subdues. He told Adam to subdue. Mm-hmm. God does too.
Amen.
He will not bring wickedness to heaven. When I that book, The Next Move of God, I'm so glad that Mary had a study that. She wrote that book, I think it was 61 or after that. She had a revelation, some of that revelation was 61. The move of, now it's always covered, the next move of God, the next move of God. But I was born in 63, so she had this revelation before I was born. And the Lord gave me similar revelation. So I'm like, wow. The Lord, he went around the church. He put the reservoirs at the church where they welcomed the Holy Spirit. He went around the dead church. Then the move of God happened. Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, they taught faith. That was the next move of God in those days. It was forming. The reservoirs was being full of the word back. The foundation was being laid in the when they started their ministries. And even before that, that was A.A. Abrams in the early days. And people would talk about them. So they couldn't be part of this next move. And it got to that the part about Absalom. The Lord said, the three times he said, I will not. And he left them out of that move. But he went around them. The charismatic movement in the late 70s, 80s. I got saved in 83. That's when I joined in. So, everybody that stayed current with God, their hearts grow softer and they're more covenant minded as they grow from glory to glory. Now, here we are. Now, I want to show something that I saw. I've been reading Genesis a long time. I didn't see this till a few weeks ago. Genesis 1 and 22.
1 what?
22, I think. Let's see. No, I'm sorry. 1 and 25. No, 20. 1 and 26. We get that. verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Mm-hmm. He always had it in his heart for man to be just like him, after our likeness, to be just like him, living in his image. And let none, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now watch this part. And God blessed them. Now, there's two things I want to share with this. This isn't the one I was going to share, but I shared first. God blessed them. You remember the Levitical rule in Hebrews 6. He was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek.
Yeah.
So were we. He was talking to Adam, Eve, and everybody that would ever be born from them. We were in his loins. When God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So, the Lord spoke, he subdued this. He spoke that to every soul, every human. And we know that he's talking, that's a current word for us, that's just understood. But this, I saw the word them, and we know that he made Adam first. Mm-hmm. He was talking to all humanity. And then Adam was in the restoration week. This was Friday. In the covenant week, this is Friday. At the end of the day, or some portion of that Friday, the Lord was able to talk and commune with Adam, and Adam was able to hear him, understand him, and reason with him. Now, all the ministers that's been teaching since Jesus has been gone for 2 days in the covenant week. He died on a Wednesday evening, it's Thursday, now it's Friday evening. And from the time that he left the Holy Spirit to guide us, people have been growing and growing in covenant over time. And now people are able to hear God, reason with him, and commune with him. In the covenant week. This is the covenant. The covenant week is 1,000 years. We have 1,000 years and another 1,000 years. This is it, right before he returns. So the Lord is going to, he's deploying his people who stayed in covenant with him. This is important to know. And he's taking care of every problem. Everybody that's linked to him, their influence is high. Now we have, Pastor talked about the double portion. See, he's wrapping it up. Whatever you did before, it's, even though you do the same acts of love now, it's double. It has more, the enemy knows every culture. I put it this way, the old anointings are valid. But when you receive from it and act on it, the anointing always multiplies. It's supposed to do that. In fact, when Elisha wanted the double portion, every man of God should want the double portion. Every man of God should want, Kenneth Hagin, we love him, he was a blessing. But we're supposed to receive a double portion. Of not only Kenneth Hagin, but all of them. And we can, it's possible. Covenant and time. I've had miracles based on what he taught. I'm standing on his shoulders. But we're designed to do a greater work at younger ages. So Jesus put it this way. He said, he that believe will do greater works than me. That's our legacy. So he. Oh yeah, we got to wrap up here.
10:30.
Out of time, but
yeah.
So the things that we're going to see and experience now, uh-huh. Don't be surprised.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Amen.
Jesus.
God is. He's got it. He made us in his likeness. I don't want to stop.
It's good. It's good.
Good Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you'll bless us. Help us to do all that's in your heart.
Yes.
Move thoroughly and throughout our lives. Help us to go forward in you.
Yes.
Keeping all covenant, doing all that's in your heart. Use us like a tool in your hand. And help us expel all darkness, leaven, and everything that's not like you. Help us drive it out just like the Canaanites. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
That was good.
Praise God.
Thank
God for our covenant.
I want to give that.
Covenant
balance.
People.
I don't want to read that little portion.
Go ahead.
One day last month, I kept talking about balance. And I thought about it. I said, Lord, what's your definition for balance?
For what?
For balance.
Balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because in the hard days, the way I stayed balanced, I just stuck with what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And so he said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. And I understood that love, holiness, and wisdom keep you structured. But he said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. Then he said this, perfect balance is relentless sincerity.
Oh, okay.
He said, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. Mm-hmm. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes.
Never changes.
But then he said something very curious. He said, proud men can never be balanced.
Whoa.
He said, proud men can never be balanced, valued, or appreciated. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly view.
Wow.
And that explained a lot to me when he said it.
Uh-huh.
I said,
whoa.
Man, this is, I'm seeing a bigger picture just from that phrase right there.
All right.
All right, we'll be with this message.
Okay.